Greetings, fellow conspirators. LG Grande here with you at Liberty Conspiracy Audios as we offer a very brief introduction to a podcast that will be mostly information. I'm not going to be putting much music into this program because we need to catch up on some of the events that have been occurring and some of the analysis that I've offered, that some of the callers have offered, some of our guests have offered on the radio program. And I also want to let you know that very soon you're going to be seeing Liberty Conspiracy videos. I'm very happy about this. We're going to cover a lot of ground on those. We'll cover day-to-day information as well as creating a long-standing production on the history of free market economics and how they have helped man progress and gain better living standards. I'll tell you about more about that later on. Right now, the subject of this podcast is going to be about basically one item, one news item, and that is the towering edifice of hypocrisy that people like Dianne Feinstein in the U.S. Senate and Nancy Pelosi in the U.S. House of Representatives have built in their sudden shock and chagrin that the CIA should be spying on politicians in the Senate, while they have repeatedly and almost ad infinitum defended the United States spying on civilians, both United States citizens and foreigners. I will play for you segments from two programs in which we offer the words of people like Dianne Feinstein, the massive, violently disgusting hypocrite that she is, and Nancy Pelosi, the incredible hypocrite that she is. I'll play for you things that they have said that completely contradict their statements about, as they seem to be claiming, the idea that they are somehow paladins against the intelligence community, that they've been fighting the intelligence community for so long, when in fact they have been promoting and voting for bills that allow the intelligence community to do exactly what they don't like being done to them against American citizens. So I hope you'll like it. There are a lot of other subjects that we can cover in this podcast, but I want to concentrate on this particular subject, so I'm combining two radio programs into one. Two in one. So I hope you'll like it. Again, not much music between the segments because I want to get the information out to you, and we've got a great backlog of information to release to you. So thank you very much, and we'll be seeing you.
Over the past week, there have been numerous press articles written about the Intelligence Committee's oversight review of the detention and interrogation program of the CIA. Specifically, press attention has focused on the CIA's intrusion and search of the Senate Select Committee's computers, as well as the committee's acquisition of a certain internal CIA document known as the Panetta Review.
It's just amazing to me. She goes on and talks about, you know, it talks about the Constitution and the law and all these things, completely contrary to the law and so on and so forth. Amazing. Here is a woman who has never once tried to stop the rendition process at all, who voted for the NDAA for the indefinite detention of American citizens, who has never once spoken out against droning civilians who have not been proven to have committed any frigging crimes, who never said anything about getting people out of Guantanamo, never said anything about it being an unconstitutional legal framework that was just invented by Congress. She's been behind half this stuff. And now she's got the friggin' gall to come out and say, oh, man, it was so bad when Edward Snowden revealed that Americans were being spied upon, and we definitely needed that for American security. But how dare anyone spy on us? It's stunning. It just blows me frigging away. It's just incredible. Here's a little something. This one's from CNN. How shocked CNN is. Check this out.
Well, in this speech that Senator Feinstein gave, she said she came forward to talk about this reluctantly. This is something, this search the CIA made of the Senate Intelligence Committee's computers. She was told about this by the CIA back in January. And so she's been trying, she says, to deal with this behind closed doors. And she only came out today to deliver this speech on the Senate floor because of inaccuracies she's seen in the press. The central question here is about separation of powers. Can the Senate Intelligence Committee do its job? Can it oversee agencies like the CIA without fear of interference or fear of intimidation?
Okay. Without fear of interference or fear of intimidation. But God forbid that the unconstitutional agency called the CIA should spy on Americans, or the unconstitutional NSA should spy on Americans. Because, you know, they've got to take care of things for security. See? That's perfectly acceptable to her, but they should definitely not spy on Dianne Feinstein, right? Now, here's Nancy Pelosi. Check out Nancy Pelosi. This woman's incredible. And by the way, I have comparisons of Nancy Pelosi today to Nancy Pelosi in 2007 and her two differing opinions and her two differing positions on spying, national security, and the FISA courts. Well, she's still of certain position on the FISA courts, but check this out.
But I salute Senator Feinstein. I tell you, you take on the intelligence community, you're a person of courage.
So now, somehow, while she's been totally acquiescing, can you believe this? Now she's been acquiescing to the spying that's been going on for years. And they've known about this stuff. They knew about PRISM. They were given presentations on this stuff. They knew all about it. Both the House and the Senate were aware of this. So she comes out in favor of this stuff. Edward Snowden's a traitor. He's terrible for having revealed all this information. It's hurting American security. We've got to do this to keep America safe and sound. And wait till you hear the stuff that I've got of her from 2007 about how we have to strike that balance between security and privacy. You know, it's right in there somewhere in the Constitution. Let me see if I can find it here. I'll find it in a minute. Yeah. So 2007, now she says she tries to paint herself as some great paladin taking on the intelligence community. What a jerk. Unbelievable.
And she does not do that lightly. Not without evidence. Whatever it is, all of us should look to see. This is a really important element of our national security. Very patriotic Americans who are engaged in the intelligence community. For years, decades now, I have saluted their service. Wherever the decision is, whether it's from the administration, as was the case in the Bush administration, to withhold information from Congress, I fought that. But you don't fight it without a price, because they come after you. And they don't always tell the truth about it. Now, where that's motivated from, I don't know. And it is not to place paint everyone with the same brush.
She's fighting the man.
Whatever the situation is, it should be reviewed. I don't think there's any question. I completely agree with Senator Feinstein that this is a matter of great seriousness. The attitude that the CIA had
All right. You can tell she's just fumbling around now. She doesn't even know what she's doing. You know, it's like a basketball player running down the side of the lane and doesn't realize that the basketball player is going to be involved in a fast break. And suddenly the pass is coming towards her. And she's like, what do I do with this? I don't know where to put this. What do I pass it? I don't know what. They always pass a, well, there's going to have to be a study committee on this. You're going to have to study this stuff, you know, man, because, you know, that's some serious mojo, you know. Yeah, of course. Oh, man, this is great. So check this one out. Check out this video. This is a prime one, okay? I hope this comes up. This is from 2007.
Each one of us who comes to serve in this body, indeed everyone who serves our country, takes an oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. It's
really
a thrill to take that oath of office. As we protect and defend the American people, in the preamble it says, to form a more perfect union, Mr. Jackson's been a champion on that, to provide for the common defense in that preamble, that's a high priority for us.
Notice how she's concentrating on the preamble. A lot of leftists do this. And in fact, some neoconservatives will do this when they want to expand the powers of the federal government. The statement of intent was the preamble. The actual rules are in Article 1, Article 2, Article 3, and the amendments. So what the government can and can't do in order to facilitate those goals are interior to the document. But they don't do that. So when we get back, I want to play a little bit more of Nancy Pelosi from 2007 and show you what a difference Nancy Pelosi seems to... I mean, it's just amazing. Now she's fighting the man. She wasn't back then. And then we'll take Soph will be on the line with us from England. We'll return. Man, I tell you, boy, it's a very busy night tonight. Thank you for being with us and making our show part of it. It's Liberty Conspiracy Radio. Our LG Grande here with you. We'll bring Soph in from the UK in just a moment. I also want to congratulate my old boss at Star Trek Voyager, Brandon Braga, for episode 2 of Cosmos. Amazing, amazing work. He and everybody involved with Cosmos. That was our latest podcast, actually, praising the work of Carl Sagan and Neil deGrasse Tyson and Androyan, Brandon Braga, and all the folks who were behind that program. Just good stuff. And I have to compliment the folks at Walking Dead as well. They do an amazing work as well if you were watching that. But then again, a lot of people don't even bother watching TV. Maybe you're reading a book or whatever. I got a suggestion for you. If you get the opportunity... pick up, well, actually, hey, I'll talk about my book for a second. How about that? My novella, Bite, is available at Amazon.com and Kindle. It's at Nook, Barnes & Noble, and it's available right now from Wales, from the publishing company in Wales, Pendragon Press. It should be available soon in America. Okay, now, I want to get back to this story about the CIA spying on the Senate Intelligence Committee, which I think is just... You know, it's as we often say, it's a rich dish to swallow. Ooh, it's very, very heavy because of the incredible hypocrisy of these people. And what stuns me is I guess they've learned that if you just continue to march on and don't look to either side as the people, you know, tell you, hey, by the way, the emperor has no clothes, then everything will be fine. Don't worry about it in any way whatsoever. And this is essentially what Dianne Feinstein is doing. Feinstein, one of the people who was one of the great proponents and defenders of the PRISM program when about a year ago Edward Snowden revealed that that was happening to Americans and everyone, really. And suddenly it's happening to her with the CIA, and it's not right. That's just not right because it could be abused, you see. Ah, yes, it could be abused. Now, Dianne Feinstein is not alone. She's there with Representative Nancy Pelosi, who says, you go, girl. Yeah, more power to you. Fight the man. And, you know, when you're like us and you go up against the intelligence community, you know, because we're real tough and we're always fighting the intelligence community and stuff. And then I kind of get lost because I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And is that something up there? I got to get out of here, right? I mean, she starts fumbling around, doesn't know what she's saying. Let's get to, I love the little fumbles. These are great.
The rights of Congress in all of this. It's pretty appalling what is being alleged or charged. And
what a friggin' clown. Oh, my God. She's so unbelievable. And this is her in 2007.
It's ability to protect the American people that makes everything else possible in our community and in our society.
In our community.
But as we protect and defend the American people, our oath of office calls upon us to protect and defend the Constitution and our civil liberties. The legislation before us today does just that.
This was to reauthorize FISA wiretapping, okay? Just to let you know, there is no possible way FISA wiretapping is constitutional. Not a chance at all. No way. The FISA courts themselves are completely contrary to the very spirit of the Fourth Amendment, which is supposed to be a deliberative process where a public judge, a real judge, issues a warrant and people know about it. Not the case with FISA. But hey, that's okay. She was all behind this spying stuff.
It's about protecting the American people from terrorism and other national security threats. I, for a long time, have served on the Intelligence Committee, both as a member, as the ranking member, and also ex officio, and as leader, and now as speaker.
I can't even. Oh, man, it's just, it's amazing. And at the end of it, I could go to the end of it here when she talks about, Mr. Speaker, I implore you to vote for this bill. Let me see if I can find it here.
Understood it well, the balance that needed to be struck between security and liberty. They spoke eloquently to it.
I wonder if anybody were to ask her, can you please tell me any of the people who spoke eloquently to this? Can you cite for me any of the speeches? Any quotes anywhere? Because as we know, one of the most famous ones from Benjamin Franklin said that those who are willing to give up a little bit of freedom for security, I'm paraphrasing, shall get and deserve neither. That's very, very true.
In their speeches, they enshrined it in the Constitution. Let us protect the American people under the law. Please, my colleagues, support this very important legislation.
And you notice how she mixes the law with the Constitution. That's what Barack Obama did when he spoke about the NSA spying program a month and a half ago. He kept trying to conflate them. We have a legal process, just like they do with the same. They do the same thing with the droning.
We conform to a legal process.
The legal process that they create out of thin air is sort of like, somebody hitting you in the face, and you say, well, that's not right to do.
Well, you know, I figured out a way, if I come up at this angle, it's perfectly acceptable.
Gather once more. The gang, the cabal, the faceless organization called the Liberty Conspiracy. Organized by no one centrally. No central plan. It's all about freedom. Welcome to the program, one and all, on the Liberty Radio Network. It's good to have you here. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. You can find our website at libertyconspiracy.com because freedom's out of fashion nowadays. And you can follow us at Podomatic and at iTunes. Find out every podcast that is posted free of charge. You can download them for nothing. You can subscribe for nothing except a little bit of caloric energy spent on clicking and concentrating. And that's it. You download them. You click and play at libertyconspiracy.com. You can also contact me during the program. I'll open up the Skype line shortly. It's GARDNER.Goldsmith on Skype. And you can follow me on Twitter at Gard Goldsmith on Twitter, where I combine my work on writing and my interest in things like entertainment, rock and roll, television, films, things like that, all in one thing. I don't separate my political ideas from what I do in fiction and script writing and things like that. I keep them all together. It's all me. And feel free to contact me anytime over there and follow me. I'll probably follow you, to quote a little Genesis right there, you know, little prog rock, baby. Now, we've got a lot to get into. I'm going to open up the Skype line shortly. I want to thank Soph again for staying up so late last night talking to us about some of the things happening in Ukraine and Crimea. Soph broke the news that the Crimean referendum there had gone very strongly in favor of sticking with Russia, going with Russia. We'll talk a little bit about that with a very sizable article, actually a couple articles, that shed some light on the United States' involvement in Crimea and Ukraine. And I will offer you some thoughts that I have heard today that are very troubling about the United States and some of the plans they have had for Syria, Crimea, Ukraine, Iran, and a lot of the Middle East, and how all these pieces could be part of a larger plan that has existed in the United States military echelons since about 2007, 2008, when they were doing war games with this sort of scenario. So I'll tell you about that. It's just pure speculation, but it comes from sources that I find fairly compelling. And we'll see whether or not this stuff is borne out. But first, let's give you some entertaining stuff, shall we? You know, last night we talked a little bit about the hypocrisy of Dianne Feinstein and of Nancy Pelosi, people who have been in no way critical of the surveillance, the growth of the surveillance state, not just the surveillance state, but the growth of the surveillance state in the United States. Since George W. Bush, they have suddenly become quiet. And now that it's the Democrat in office, they seem to have very little problem with it. In 2007, actually, when George Bush was still in office, we saw Nancy Pelosi speaking in favor of the reissuing of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the renewal of it. And she said, well, you know, we here have to strike that balance for the American people about their privacy and their security. Really, I didn't know that that was a power granted to you in Congress, but I'll put that as a podcast very soon so you can hear it. And I mentioned that Dianne Feinstein had expressed outrage that the CIA might be spying on the Intelligence Committee in the Senate, of which she is a member, right? This fascinated me, and I thought, you know, it's amazing. I wonder if this woman will ever shut up and realize that most of what she is saying about this subject is incredibly hypocritical. Well, guess what? She's going on. She does even more. In this case, let's talk about drones. Now, I know, I could play Lord of the Hornets right now. I could play a little Robert Calvert, rest in peace, Robert Calvert. But instead, what I wanted to do, since I'm, by the way, I'm here in Studio Z, or as they might say in England, Studio Z. Yes, this is the ultimate studio, this one. Very spacious, cavernous studio, walled with gold and amber. It's like the Amber Room by Steve Barry, that novel that I've never read. But I can talk about it because I saw the cover many times, and it makes me sound very intelligent. And now I get to introduce Electric Eye. Yeah.
Everything you do. You think you've privatized, and nothing else but time. There is no true
Crosby. I love that song. Great tune. And, of course, I'm going to send that out to my friend Brian Keene, the novelist. If you haven't read any of Brian Keene's novels, I hope you do. He also does comic books, novellas, short stories. He's just a multi-talented guy. Very cool. And, of course, a massive fan of Judas Priest. Yes. Good job. Now, I use this because Dianne Feinstein is at it again. And in this case, I could have played Lord of the Hornets, but instead I'm going with this because it's all about the surveillance state. And as you heard a little bit earlier with Derek in the news just a couple minutes ago, there was a baseball team. They had a drone flying, and the FAA said you can't do that because they don't allow for commercial drones, right? Oh, yes, yes. If it's commercial activity, well, they're going to regulate you, even though there's nothing in the federal constitution that allows for this to happen. Now, some people could say, what are we going to do if everybody's flying drones, Guard? There's got to be some organization that handles this sort of thing. Well, if you think that the government is the one that needs to do that, and you want to force it on everybody else, it's not in the rules for the Constitution, okay? So what you need to do is you need to amend the Constitution. And by the way, the existence of the FAA is unconstitutional. As I mentioned, the FAA started after, in the 1920s, the United States Postal Service established these lighted air routes. And the Congress said that those air routes were only for the USPS flights, the airmail. And private carriers, then at that time, like Pan Am, just starting off, things like that, they could not use those routes. They went east, west, north, south. They were big lighted poles. Then they used visual flight rules to go along these things because they didn't have radar at the time. Okay, so that was the first instance the federal government got involved with regulating this stuff. And I've mentioned this before, the whole history of how the feds got involved and showered money on different municipalities to get votes, especially during the Roosevelt administration and things like that. But the existence of the FAA runs contrary to the Constitution. There is no specific power that grants the federal government the power to do that. There's no enumerated anything. What they do is they claim that the planes go over state borders, and therefore they can be regulated because of the Interstate Commerce Clause, but that's not why the Interstate Commerce Clause was originally written. So now we're looking at the FAA. We're talking about drones. Now, yesterday we saw that the very people who had no problem with the prison program and talked about how we Americans are going to just have to make sure that, you know, we sit back and let them all decide for us how much of our privacy we will be given up for the great security they provided us, which is zero. And, of course, they claim that they've stopped 50 terrorist acts with their surveillance program. And then the White House panel that investigated it said, wow, we were shocked to find out they didn't stop any. They couldn't provide any evidence. That was really weird. Well, gee, how long have libertarians and civil libertarians been saying that for, a couple of years now? Yeah, something like that. So now we have Dianne Feinstein moving beyond her statements about being surveilled. Now she's talking about drones. And wait till you hear, yes, indeed, just like you, private citizen, she's worried about drones. Hey, thanks for choosing us, Liberty Conspiracy Radio on the Liberty Radio Network. If you're streaming us at LRN.FM, thank you for doing so. And if you are hanging out with us over the airwaves, thanks to you for listening, and thanks to the radio stations for carrying us. I'm Gardner Goldsmith. Liberty Conspiracy Radio is what this is called. We'll go till midnight. I'll open up the Skype line shortly. And by the way, I know I am competing right now with the second episode of Cosmos. Remarkable second episode, very much drawn from the original Cosmos second episode on evolution, on Darwinian theories of evolution, on natural selection, and some very interesting stuff about artificial selection. A really, really good show. So, I understand if you've got the volume turned down during commercials, you're listening to us. Hey, it's tough, man. Cosmos, they've got some big competition in us. Actually, it's kind of funny. I'm wearing my Star Trek United Federation of Planets button on my left chest, and my Doctor Who Tom Baker Vortex insignia on my right chest. Right now, I've got an old jean jacket on right now. So, There's no studio cam for you. The G cam is not on. But okay, so as I mentioned at the introduction of the program, I've got a lot to discuss regarding the Ukraine and some theories about the United States' involvement with that, about some of the things that have been occurring in other countries like Venezuela, snipers that have been shooting at both sides, some really weird, strange, underhanded stuff that definitely lends itself to the conspiracy theory side of things, especially when you hear about plans that Defense Department upper echelon people had when it came to destabilizing places like Libya, like Syria, like Ukraine, and eventually surrounding Iran and blocking out Russia. I'll tell you more about that. I don't want to go into too many details and distract from this first story that I introduced in this first segment of the program and now want to discuss in this second segment. It is about the hypocrisy of Dianne Feinstein, who to me is really one of the most foul people I've ever seen in politics in many, many years. I mean, she's been around for ages. There's a core group of some politicians who have been able to get into office and stay there, and they're truly, truly nasty pieces of work. And you know, people who know me know I get along pretty much with everybody. You know, in fact, I made a science of being friendly to people when I was about 10 years old so that I wouldn't be made fun of and stuff like that. I made it I really studied how to be friendly to people and get to know people and find out what they were like. There are certain individuals you can tell. Gene Shaheen is one of them. Senator Gene Shaheen from New Hampshire. I have very rarely personally come into contact with someone more unctuous than Gene Shaheen. I'm sure if I were to meet Dianne Feinstein, based on so much of what I've seen of this woman, I would probably get the same vibe. It's just amazing. Last night we mentioned that she was speaking with great anger that the CIA might be spying on the Intelligence Committee. Okay? Now, I think the hypocrisy of it is fairly clear when we talk about how she doesn't want their committee to be spied upon. And she even says, well, you never know. I mean, this could be used to coerce and manipulate people. Oh, really? As opposed to PRISM, NSA, FISA wiretaps, things like that? Is any of that stuff? Hello? Does it ring a bell? I guess not. Because that's for our security, right? Oh, yes, that's right. You decided. The Fourth Amendment doesn't matter. You decided. Because you'll find that balance, you and Nancy Pelosi. Then Nancy Pelosi came out yesterday to back her up, and she had the gall to make it seem as if she'd been fighting the intelligence community. She goes, you know, when you take on the intelligence community the way we do, like, what are you talking about? You mean you, the person who voted for the reinstitution of the FISA courts? You, the person who has said that Edward Snowden is a traitor? You and Dianne Feinstein, who said that the surveillance through the NSA is perfectly acceptable, and Feinstein had the audacity to quote one FISA judge while another FISA judge said that it wasn't, and not to mention the fact that all of the FISA courts are unconstitutional star chambers that are secret courts, and they're not supposed to be any secret courts in the United States. They issue secret warrants. There aren't supposed to be secret warrants. That the fact that the spying that goes on against foreigners is also not sanctioned by the Constitution. The Fourth Amendment is not strictly reserved to protect Americans from government activity. It specifies the way the government has to act. It doesn't say that it's specifically done so that the government has to act when it's doing this against Americans. It's the way the government is supposed to act. And again, I'm an anarchist. I don't believe that the Constitution has protected my rights sufficiently. I didn't sign the Constitution. There you go. So, here is Dianne Feinstein's next, here's the next wrinkle in the Dianne Feinstein story, but you're going to think I'm doing that on purpose, and maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I don't know. Whatever. Who cares? I'm not going to even get into that. But Dianne Feinstein is now talking about drones. And as Derek mentioned in the top of the hour news, drones for commercial purposes are not allowed by the FAA. You've got to get permission. And it takes a long, long time. Even though the FAA is unconstitutional and not supposed to be there, people don't care. They don't question it. They've grown up with it.
Oh, somebody's got to do it. So it just makes sense. The government would do it.
I see. I see. Don't question it. Don't bother to look up the rules. Doesn't matter. There's no declared war. Send off the troops. Doesn't matter. Wave the flag. Support them. Put on your yellow ribbon. Have fun. Enjoy. Oh, we're so happy my loved ones are coming back. Really, why did they go? And the regulation of drones. So, here is Dianne Feinstein. Now she's suddenly concerned. Even though drones are being used to kill people in foreign lands, now she's concerned about drones. It's a beautiful thing. This story comes to us from Politico.com. And, oh, it's an exciting one. Andrea Drush says, for Senator Dianne Feinstein, regulation of unmanned aerial vehicles has gotten personal. Really? Uh-huh. Well, she happened to appear with Morley Safer from 60 Minutes and say that she's troubled by drones in the hands of private citizens. And she thinks that they should be regulated. Yeah, honest to goodness, she thinks drones should be regulated. Because one time there were protesters outside of her house, and she pulled open the curtains, and there was a drone looking right into her window. A drone. And it quickly turned around. But, you know, we got to do something about these drones, she says. Very important. Let's see if we can hear from her and hear what she's got to say. Dianne Feinstein, here it is. Okay, here's the story. Feinstein appeared as a pro-regulation voice on a Morally Safer segment on the legal questions surrounding the commercial drone industry. When is a drone picture a benefit to society? When does it become stalking? When does it invade privacy? How close to a home can a drone go? Feinstein said. Well, I don't know. Maybe if you're going to kill somebody. How about that? Can you do that? Yeah. We'll play this quote when we return. It's 24 seconds. I'll open up the next segment with it. You'll enjoy, I hope.
When is a drone pick?
Oh, what happened to Dianne? Here it is. Oh, it's the Politico website that's causing
when
problems.
When is a drone picture a benefit to society? When does it become stalking? When does it invade privacy? How close to a home can a drone go? I'm in my home, and there's a demonstration out front, and I go to peek out the window, and there's a drone facing me. Well, whoever was running it turned it around quickly, and it crashed.
Oh, isn't that cute? Okay, so Dianne Feinstein wants to regulate drones. And, of course, we know that if the government is going to use the drones, she's going to be in favor of it. The government can get secret warrants through the FISA court and start to watch people. Of course. Would anyone expect that Dianne Feinstein would veer from the course she has already steered through the sewage-laden seas of warrantless or secret warrant wiretaps? Of course not. Would anyone think that this towering mountain of hypocrisy, who speaks so vociferously and with such great anger and resentment about the CIA monitoring her intelligence committee, does anybody think that that massive hypocrite, that Herculean, epic, gargantuan hypocrite would ever stop to say, well, you know, private drone use and invasion of privacy, yeah, you know, I kind of have a problem with that, but that should be just sort of based up to private lawsuits, things like that. And the government, actually, we don't have the power to use drones. The federal government and local governments, if they're going to use drones, are supposed to Yeah, they're supposed to get a warrant. Yeah, yeah. In fact, the federal government's going to get a warrant, too. But she won't be bothered with it, right? No, she won't. Now, personally, if I lived in a society that I would prefer, it would be a private society, and we would come up with our own arrangements as to whether or not drones would be allowed, for what purposes. And if you broke those rules, you would freely have agreed to those rules to live in that area. And if you broke those rules, then there would already be pre-existing arrangements for penalties and things like that. They try to tell you that you accept their dictates and that it's sort of the same thing here in the United States. But it's not. That's why, for example, my niece was being taxed already. She was being charged for the drones that were going to be killing people like Anwar al-Awlaki in 2011, even though she couldn't vote. And even if she could vote, she would probably have voted against it. And let's see. Oh, yeah, she still would have had her money taken. And if she didn't want to pay for it, well, it's not voluntary, see? Freedom isn't free. You're going to go to jail if you don't pay for your freedom. Excuse me? Okay. Now, some other stories that I think are pretty important stories. And I just want to give you this one. This comes from The Independent. And I want to move away from Dianne Feinstein a little bit. We're going to get back into the national geopolitical stuff, but check this story out. It's about the FDA and meningitis. Now, the FAA we mentioned, right? Federal Aviation Administration. The Food and Drug Administration. What's the story with them? Well, we know the FAA has screwed up the air routes for years. We know that the air routes themselves are not based on market demands for the consumers and the people providing the flights to them. The air routes are based on political demands. That's why, as I often mention, there's a massive hub airport in Chicago, because Chicago is an incredibly corrupt political city and it has incredible sway over Washington, D.C. No private airline would want to put a hub in Chicago. But that's where one of the hubs is, and that's where the FAA steers these things. The whole system screwed up. So you're going to have problems now coming up with Amazon wanting to use drones and others wanting to use drones. And the FAA is going to have a one-size-fits-all, possibly influenced by the corporations involved, answer to it. And you can bet the little guys are going to have some major problems. Okay? Now, the FDA is similar. Major pharmaceutical corporations, they get good things, and in some cases they get screwed by the FDA. And the loser, every time, is the consumer. Either they're paying too much, or they can't get the drugs when they're supposed to. Now, to give the pharmaceutical corporations some slack, for every one drug that they can get out onto the market, it requires them to develop three other drugs. That's their rate of success for the research and things like that. Now, by the same token, they often can get research done by university students, graduate students, PhD students, things like that, and med school students. They can get some of that study done through government grants. So that's a bit of an offset. But in the end, the existence of the FDA, supposedly to protect you from bad drugs, as has been written in the great book Hazardous to Our Health, which was edited by Robert Higgs, an incredible economic historian and a fellow at the Independent Institute. I've seen him speak. He's just amazing. He's a great guy, really good guy. Robert Higgs in that book noted, as well as the other authors noted, that the amount of time that it takes for a drug to get onto the market requires... And then the amount of time that the companies get to issue it before it goes into generic requires incredible high prices before it all goes out there. And that has to do with patent and things like that. We can discuss that in a libertarian world. I wouldn't have patents. I wouldn't have copyrights that are policed by the government. The things would be done through private arrangements. But what gets me is there are drugs that are held up for years, and that lag sees people die when they don't have to die. They could be saved by these drugs. But the FDA, here's the deal. The FDA, through its delays, has killed more people than all of the bad drugs that have made it out onto the market and they've seen with mistakes. Now, that's not exactly a fair thing to say, because some will say, well, that did the maybe the FDA stopped these things, the some of the bad things as well. It's possible. But just think about freedom of choice and people being able to decide. Here's a story that comes from the Independent Institute. After an outbreak of meningitis caused a lacrosse-playing college student in Santa Barbara, California, to have his feet amputated last November, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration granted limited approval for a vaccine to be administered on his campus in late February. The FDA could have approved a meningitis B vaccine much earlier, but did not. This lethargy is just one example of the agency's fanatically risk-averse, in quotes, policies that have led to preventable suffering and fatalities, explains Independent Institute policy fellow K. Lloyd Billingsley. This is especially troubling because, he writes, quote, the European Union, Australia, and Canada all have approved use of a meningitis B vaccine, end quote. The FDA should immediately approve a MenB vaccine for general use while it's still undergoing final testing. Quote, if the FDA continues to resist, Billingsley continues, Congress should intervene, empowering Americans to access the vaccine before outbreaks, when it might be useful in protecting lives, rather than months later when an overcautious health bureaucracy finally says it is okay.
Mother volcano by the giant gas tank, the street corner gun market next to the rock bank, the poorhouse next to the Union Royal Palace, Tower of Riches beside it, the Abbess. So you sit in the gridlock under the stop block, long for a new taste, suck on the grease block. Your brain is a donut, your spirit's a dry cup. This place has the poison to fill them all right up. Lockdown London, lockdown.